You'll take your Bible tonight, turn to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to follow my pastor's example tonight, and I will do another portrait. This one is entitled Portrait of Growth. Portrait of Growth. The Bible, over and over again, tells us that we're to be growing in our faith and growing in our walk with the Lord. And Peter writes, and he says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if something isn't growing, well, it's withering and dying, isn't it? And we're supposed to be growing. Tonight, in Exodus chapter 17, we're going to look at the life of Joshua and see a time in his life of growth. And we're going to read two verses tonight to begin with. Three verses, actually. Chapter 17 and verse number 8. The Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the very word of God tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that teaches us, strengthens, and challenges us, gives us hope and comfort and assurance. And Lord, everything we need. And we just give you the thanks and the praise and the honor and glory. Tonight I pray in some small way that through your Holy Spirit and your precious word that you could work in our hearts and once again teach us and help us in our own personal lives as we strive and seek to draw closer to you and walk with thee. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Usually when we think of Joshua and we want to look at the life of Joshua, we immediately turn to Joshua chapter 1 and read through the book of Joshua. And that's a very wonderful book. I used to love to read Joshua as a teenager. It was exciting. We didn't have video games, but we had the Bible. And it was better. You know, you get all the action in the Old Testament, you know what I mean? And I used to love to sit down as a teenager and just read the stories in the Old Testament. Get excited about Dave and Daniel and those guys. But Joshua is one of my favorites as well. And we read through the book of Joshua. But when you read through the book of Joshua, here's what you need to understand. He was 80 years old at that time. And that Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 came up after a long time where God was working in his life. You see, when you think of Joshua, first 40 years of his life, we find simply in the first three chapters of the book of Exodus. That's where Joshua lived. 40 years, he was born and grew up in Egypt in slavery. That was his life. That's how he started off. As soon as he got to 8 or 10 years old, he started to learn as a young person what it meant to labor, what it meant to work, what it meant to go out and help the older men gather the straw for the bricks, make the bricks. And then he grew till he was 40 years old and labored in hard labor, bitter labor, to the point where Israel was crying unto God. And God heard their prayers. And then Moses comes along. Joshua's 40 years old when Moses stands up to Israel and says, hey, God's heard our cry. He's going to deliver us. He's going to take us out of Egypt. He's going to bring us into the promised land. And then there's a period of 40 years in Joshua's life. 40 years from the point that they leave Egypt when he is 40 years old and the point where he steps into a place of leadership and would lead Israel into the promised land. And that 40 years was a time of growth. It wasn't physical growth because, tell you what, when they left Egypt, and by the way, this is a little sidelight, but think about this. When we read about these people in the Bible, it's just amazing how, if you really stop and think, how God just takes a person and uses them. Do you know that when they left Egypt, there was probably, over a couple million people in Israel. But when they organized and numbered them as they left, it was over 200. There was 203,000 men that were 20 years old and upward. And the reason they numbered that way was they said, if you're 20 years old and upward, you are fit for battle. You're a man of war. You're at that age and strength and maturity to go to battle. And we're going to be going to battle. We know that. Out of that, you say, how do I think about 200,000? Well, think of a city like Phoenix. City of Phoenix, Arizona has about 200,000. So you're one guy. No, Phoenix has a couple of million people. Sorry. We're going to narrow it down. Israel had a couple of million. Boston has a couple of 100,000. All right. Now, listen, if you're a Boston Red Sox fan, take that for what it's worth, because it gets better than that. So you're one out of 200,000, right? You're one person in Boston. But 12 tribes, he's of the tribe of Ephraim. Ephraim is about 40,000. So here's where it gets better, okay? How do you think of how many people are in a crowd of 40,000? Well, that's Yankee Stadium. See, I told you it gets better, all right? So you're sitting in Yankee Stadium, one out of 40,000 people in the midst of a city of New York. And God looks down and says, yeah, I'm going to use you. And who are you? Well, not that His dad's name really means this, but you're Joshua, the son of Nun. In the midst of everybody else, you're just a nobody like everybody else. And God says, I'm going to use you to lead my people into the promised land. But before that happens, God says, you're going to need to grow. You're going to need to mature. Not physically, because at 40 years old, I mean, you've been hauling bricks since you were a kid every day, and they made it harder and harder. You know, you're in good shape physically, but there needs to be growth and maturity spiritually in the next 40 years. Now listen, don't get this the wrong way. It doesn't mean that every one of us has to have 40 years before God can use us. No, it's just back then that was the time frame for Joshua's life. But there needs to be growth. And God does work and grows us in our life spiritually. My uncle from New Hampshire was a horticulturist, but in a very unique way. He had one purpose in developing fruits and vegetables, and his purpose was to develop fruits and vegetables so they could be grown in the coldest regions of the world. And he would bring seeds. He would take seeds from Korea, from World War II, and he'd bring them over, different plants and different things. And he would take time to develop them so that they could withstand the cold of New England. He lived up in New Hampshire. And when he was interviewed one time, someone interviewed him, and they said, what is the most difficult part of what you do as a horticulturist? And he had one word. He was an old Yankee farmer, Quaker background, and he would just stand there with a dry smile, and he just looked and says, hardest part of my work is patience. Patience. Because he said it would take years to develop something to the point where it was ready enough to be developed as a seed or sent off for people to use. And he was successful at it. But the man had, boy, I tell you what, he had patience. You know how I knew he had patience? Because he would let us grandkids run all over the place and he never got upset. I mean, we'd tear through that place and he was always just smiling, just kept going. But patience. The Bible says it over and over again, that God works in us to perform his will for his pleasing and his pleasure, doesn't he? And this is what he did in life of Joshua. And I just want to, tonight from Exodus 17, I want to give you three areas of growth that God is working in each one of us, developing in each one of us so that he can use us. And he uses us. He used Joshua in that 40 years, but he wants to develop us so that he can continually use us and greatly use us. And there's three things that we can see in the development of Joshua. And they start right here in Exodus chapter 17. And listen, if you're looking for something really new, it's not here. It's the same old stuff, but it's good stuff, right? I mean, it's like, why would you need 50 other flavors of ice cream when there's chocolate marshmallow? You don't need everything else. All you need is chocolate marshmallow. It's all you need. And some chocolate sauce and chocolate sprinkles. But in Exodus chapter 17, it says, they've come out of Egypt, and all of a sudden they're in the wilderness. And by the way, right before we read of Joshua, we see the attitude of the rest of the nation of Israel. See the attitude of the rest of the people. Look what it says in verse 7. Moses called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? That was a question. God had delivered them out of Egypt. He's bringing them through. And because of the trials they faced, they murmur and complain and says, is the Lord among us or not? But then we read of Joshua. You know what the first thing you read the first thing you see about Joshua? Simply says this, verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him. Boy, what a statement. What a statement. What if the first thing someone said of you was simply this? That person lives for the Lord. I was in the lab the other day getting my blood work done, and I'd done some errands and I had to get some blood work done. So I went and did the errands, and then I was driving back and I was going to go to the blood lab, but I was getting hungry. It was about lunchtime. And I thought, well, I can put the blood lab off. That blood work is secondary. Food's more important. I got to live to be able to give blood. So I was thinking I'll go get, and then all of a sudden I thought, no, I'm supposed to go get blood. I'll just go do what I'm supposed to do, right? I gave in and I yielded and did what I was supposed to do. So I get in the blood lab and I'm sitting down, and usually goes really quick, and it did as well. But this guy walks in and walks in front of me. And as only I would do, no one else would do this, but he walks in front of me. He's got a sweatshirt on. And on his sweatshirt, there's a cross on the back, and it says, saved. And he sits down, and I look, he sits down next to me. And I look at him, I says, what? He looks at me, I says, what are you telling me, you're a Christian? That's what I said to him. I says, are you trying to, you tell me you're a Christian? He says, yeah. I saw not just some words written on a sweatshirt or something. He goes, no, I'm a Christian. And I thought, good, he's defending his faith. You know what I mean? And so I said, yeah, right. I said, where do you go to church? And he told me the church he went to. It's a good church. I know the church. And it's a good church. And I said, oh, great. So I said, so if you're a Christian, you're going to a church. That's good. I says, what are you doing for the Lord? And he looks at me and he says, well, and he told me about what he's doing for the Lord and how he's wanting to do something for the Lord. And I says, that's great. Then I told him who I was and everything else. And I explained to him. He actually gave me his name, phone number, and email, and we're going to get together because I said, I want to encourage you in this, help you in this. And he thanked me for approaching him a unique way, but it worked. That's what the Lord does in our lives, and he works in our lives. But you know, there's three things I want us to see. The first one is this, growing in our faith, because they're standing there, and all of a sudden the Amalekites, the Bible tells us in another passage, the Amalekites came up behind them and started attacking the weakest of the children of Israel. And Moses stands up and he looks at Joshua. And obviously Joshua had a connection with Moses, and the Bible doesn't tell us anything about it. But Moses turns to Joshua and he says, Joshua, choose you out some men and go up and fight against Amalek. Now understand this, because some people say, well, you know, the Israelites, they weren't soldiers or anything else. Listen, they were strong, fit men that the Bible says they went up harnessed out of Egypt. And that meant they were ready. They knew what they were going to face. I mean, they've been chased by the Egyptians. But faith, how important it is that our faith continually grows and gets stronger and stronger and stronger over the years. You see, up until this point, think about what Joshua had seen in regard to his faith in the God of Israel. He had seen God deliver them out of Egypt. He had seen God take them across, take them through the Red Sea on dry ground. He had seen God close up that water and all the Egyptians died. He has seen God in the wilderness provide water the first time, provide manna, and now provide water again. He had seen all that, but now his faith was going to grow. Because, you know, a lot of times we can see what God does in the lives of others or see what God does in a bigger picture, if you will. But how important it is that we see God work in our own personal lives in little ways. You see, that brings me back to how I met that guy the other day, because over and over again, being retired and just going through my days and everything else, I continually ask the Lord, Lord, just show me that you still want to use me to help people out. And just put me in contact with people that I can just be a blessing to them, a help to them. I want to do something for the Lord. I don't want to just sit around, you know, twiddling my thumbs for the rest of my life. Never could do that anyways. And the Lord continually just gives me opportunities to just, and over to go, he's showing me, reminding me, yeah, I still got something for you to do. I still have a purpose for you. And yet our faith needs to grow and it needs to be personal. And throughout the next 40 years, Joshua would see more of God work and his faith would increase to the point where I want to turn to Exodus chapter 33. You see, here's the difference between Joshua and Caleb and the other children of Israel, the other 200,000 men, if you will. In Exodus chapter 33, and we could go to a number of passages. But you see, Joshua's faith grew stronger, and it also grew more personal. And that's the way our faith needs to be. When I speak of faith, I don't mean just believing or even just trusting, but I mean faith in the context of our walk with the Lord. It needs to get closer and personal and practical every day. It can't just be something out there. It needs to be personal. I need to know that I'm walking with God, that I'm trusting God, and that God is working, and that God is doing something. It goes back to the very thing Israel was saying. Hey, do we know that the living God is among us or not? 40 years later, Joshua is going to stand up in Joshua chapter 3, and he says, hey, we're about to cross the Jordan River. And he says, this day you will know that the living God is among you. The same thing they were wondering about back in Exodus chapter 17. 40 years later, Joshua is going to stand up. Listen, you're going to know today that the living God is among you. And that ought to be the desire of every one of us. I just want to know that my God is still real in my life. I know it here, but boy, I need to know it here. I need to see it in my life, in the little things of life, in the everyday things of life, just to know the presence of God. Because when I know the presence of God, see the presence of God, guess what? That's what I want more of. And look at Exodus chapter 33. You know, Moses goes up in the mount to get the Ten Commandments, all that. But look at verse 8. It came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up, stood every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses till he was gone in the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered in the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle. And all the people rose up and worshipped, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And then look at this. He turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Boy, I tell you what, the rest of Israel's wondering where the Lord is, the Lord among us, everything else. Joshua grows in his faith, and listen, he says, I know the Lord God's among us, and I want to be close to him. I don't want to leave his presence. I want to know his presence. I want my faith to be strong. I want my walk with God to be strong. I want relationship with God to be strong. And you know what God wants to do in our lives? He wants to grow our faith, our trust, our relationship with him. One of the prayers that Paul would pray for all the people that he would come in contact, the churches, one thing that he would pray for in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul would pray this: we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because your faith groweth exceedingly. That your faith groweth. That's what God wants to do in your life. He wants your faith to grow and to grow and to grow, so that you trust him, so that you know you can trust him, so that you do trust him. And a lot of times, it's through the wilderness where our faith is tested and grows and is strengthened. And it's important because there's going to come a time, like Joshua, when he sent out with all the spies, him and Caleb. Numbers chapter 14, here's what they said. Joshua and Caleb come back. All the other spies, they didn't know. They said, no, it's too much. Yeah, it's what God said, but we can't do it. We can't do it. And here's what Joshua and Caleb said. If the Lord delight in us, he'll bring us into this land. He'll give it to us, a land which floweth milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people land, for they have bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So the first thing is this: God wants to grow your faith. He wants your faith to grow strong so that it affects every area of your life, down to the littlest detail, so that you trust God, so that you wouldn't walk into the doctor's office. You trust that God knows what's going on. With your finances, you trust God. With every situation, you trust God. And you can trust God with all your heart. You don't have to lean on your own understanding, but you can trust him. Which leads to the second thing. Because you see, Moses said, I want you to go up and fight. And the second thing is, when your faith is strong, when your faith is strengthened, when you trust the Lord, the next thing will come as a result of that. It's obedience. It's obedience. When you trust the Lord, guess what? It leads to obedience. If you don't trust what someone says, you're not going to be quick to obey what they tell you to do, are you? Right? Think how many times on the job you've been in a position where someone has said, hey, do it this way. And if you have full confidence in the person that's telling you, you'll say, okay, no problem. I trust him. I'll do it. But if you doubt, you'll second guess it, and you might do it or you might not. But faith leads to obedience. Always leads to obedience. Always leads to obedience. And what did Moses do? Doesn't say he did anything. He just says he simply went out and did as Moses said. And you know, that's how we're supposed to live, in obedience to the Lord, in obedience to the Lord, not understanding everything, not trying to figure everything out, but just living in obedience to the word of God. You say, pastor, retired pastor, how do I do that? You just wake up in the morning and you determine, I'm going to live in a way that pleases the Lord, that pleases him. I'm going to do what's right in his sight according to his word, as best as I know. And if I have a question or I'm not sure, I'm going to dig into the word of God and pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What should I do? And just simply obey. You know, we sing these simple hymns. Kids sing it. Obedience, right? What was that? Obedience is, right? Trust and obey. How many hymns do we have that tell us to trust and obey? Just trust and obey. Why? There's no other way. And he learned obedience. He learned obedience. You know, Joshua chapter 1. What would the Lord remind him? Joshua chapter 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? Why are we supposed to read the Bible? Why are we supposed to get up in the morning and read the Bible? Number one reason is this. You get up in the morning and read the Bible because just in opening the Bible, just in getting up and opening it and reading it should tell you something. This is where I'm living, right? Just by picking this up in the morning, you're getting back to the point where you're getting in the morning and you're saying, you know what? This is where life is. This is where faith is. This is where I need to be. This is what I need to do. This is it, right? You know, there's a lot of Christians that can't live without coffee, but they can go without their Bible, you know? But it should be a lot of Christians that can go without coffee. Well, just let's put it this way. Can't go without their Bible, right? But listen, what does it say? This book of law shall not part of thy mouth, but meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You know, it's not only reading, but it's obeying. It's reading and obeying. How many times men, you know, sometimes men, we are the dumbest guys in the world. I thought I'd get at least one female amen on that. You know why? Because we will get a manual or a set of directions, right? I'll give a personal example about being dumb when it comes to instructions. We got a new, probably, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, we got a microwave. Number of years ago, we got a microwave. Goes under the cabinets, you know? We installed it, right? We installed it, or I installed it with the help of my two assistants, Allison and Crystal, okay? We installed it, right? Years later, I'm wondering, boy, why every time we use a stove and everything, you know, it had an exhaust fan on it too. Doug knows where I'm going with this. But every time I say, you know, why does the smell of bacon and eggs go all the way up into the bedroom upstairs? I thought this exhaust fan is supposed to take away the smell. Well, at least I did one thing right. I took the instruction booklet when I put it in and threw that in the cabinet. Should have opened it up and read it first before throwing it in the cabinet. Because it said there's one detail. When you get the microwave and you're putting it on the cabinet, you have to reverse the fan so that it exhausts through the pipe that you put in, right, for the air to go outside. Otherwise, it just blows back through the front into your kitchen. Mine, you know, suppose I should have read the directions. Well, when we put in the next one, I says, Or when we took it out and redid it. But you know, that's how we are as men. You know, we get the direction book, we look and says, there's too much there. I know what I'm doing. And the Lord says, no. That's why I gave you this book, is so that you could learn and obey. Third thing is this, strength. Not physical strength, but spiritual strength. And spiritual strength is sometimes used in the word courage. Courage. Joshua chapter 1, be strong and courageous. And you know, faith and obedience will lead to strength, spiritual strength. Paul writes in another prayer that he has, that we'd be strengthened in the inner man. And boy, that's where our strength needs to come. You know, we quote these verses. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And when you read the life of Joshua, you see how this was developed. And even in Exodus chapter 17, after the battle and after victory, the Lord tells Moses, he says, listen, I want you to write this down, all that happened, and I want you to rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. You know why? He says, I want Joshua to remember this because he's going to need to remember this because he's going to need to be strong. The first chapter of Deuteronomy, go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Deuteronomy chapter 3, actually, both of them. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and Deuteronomy chapter 3, the Lord says, Moses, your time is done and it's time for Joshua to take over. And Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse number 28, the Lord tells Moses in chapter 1, but also in chapter 3, verse 28, charge Joshua. And it says, encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. You know, by the way, just a quick side note, how important it is that we encourage one another. How important it is that as we go through our life, that we just stop and take a moment to encourage one another. You don't know how much that means or helps someone if you just stop and encourage someone else. And Moses, you need to encourage Joshua. You need to encourage Joshua because he needs to be strengthened because he's going to be leading the rest of Israel into the promised land. He's going to have battles. He's going to have challenges and he needs to be strong. Joshua chapter 1, the Lord says to Moses, be strong and courageous. And fear not, he says, because I will be with you. And the third thing is strength. Strength. And those three things were three things that were developed in the life of Joshua. Three things that need to be continually developed in our life. Faith, obedience, and strength. Three aspects of growth. Faith, obedience, and strength. But you know, it all comes back to patience. Patience. Patience as the Lord works in us and helps us to grow and changes us and matures us. You know, talking about my uncle, who was a horticulturist, and said that patience is the hardest thing when it comes to developing fruit and vegetables. Well, I think Crystal must have gotten a little of his heritage of mindset or something because this year she gave me a present. You know what she gave me for a present? The kids said, you know, if Dad's going to be in the house all winter, maybe he'd like to grow indoor plants. Well, that's nice. Didn't really work out that well. But anyways, she gave me a box, a nice wooden box with burnt carving on the top of it. You know what she gave me? To grow a bonsai seed. You know these little bonsai trees, right? I read on it. It's still in the box. You know why? You know how long it takes for that thing to grow? You got to put the seeds in the, first of all, you got to put the seeds in water. Then you got to put them in a fridge for a couple of months. Then you got to put them in the soil. Then you got to wait 2 weeks to a month for the seed to germinate. Then you got to wait for a couple of years for the thing to grow to be this big. By the way, they say most people give up after about 6 months. You know what? I haven't even started it yet. You know, I think I'm going to save it, leave it to her for an inheritance. You know what I mean? But patience, because as I'm not a big bumper sticker person, but you know, I've seen this bumper sticker. Be patient with me because God ain't finished yet, right? God's working on us, folks. Three things, faith, obedience, and strength, so that we can stand, say to someone else, hey, listen, I know the living God is amongst us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just pray that some way this has been a help to each one of us. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.